Good morning.
Good morning.
I have struggled with this all week, but I'm just going to throw it out. It's going to take me a few moments to get to where we are headed this morning. And what I've struggled with is that in the time it takes me to get there, that I'm going to lose some of it. And I don't want to lose you. So I'm asking you to help me, to stay with me, and if I can get all of us to where we are going, if I can get all of us there, then you will be glad that you have stayed. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I want to speak this morning on the subject, your one thing. Your one thing. I want to talk to you this morning about something that is very specific to you. Now, there are a lot of things this year that you want to do. There are a lot of things this year that you will do. But there is one thing you have got to do. Now, this thing is your one thing. And your one thing is different from everybody else's one thing. You understand? But if you will do your one thing a year from today, your life will be much better than it is now. Now, let me throw out some suggestions. What am I talking about? All right. Your one thing may have something to do with your home, with your husband or your wife or with your children. Something that needs to be fixed, changed, done more of, less of. But your one thing may be something surrounding your home or your family. Your one thing may be something that's going on at work, something that needs to be done differently, something that needs to be fixed, something that needs to be changed. But your one thing is at work. Or maybe your one thing is your finance. That, you know what, this year I'm going to get my finances under control. Or this year I'm going to make changes, because if I make these changes, then my life is going to be much simpler and it's going to be much easier. Yeah. Yeah. Or your one thing may have something to do with your relationship with God or your relationship with somebody else. Do you hear me? But if you had a magic button, and if you could push that magic button, and it would fix your one thing, you would push that button in an instant. Because this one thing may not be easy. It may be very, very difficult. In fact, if it was easy, you would have already done it. assignment. But if you do not do anything else this year, in 2014, you have got to deal with it. You have got to fix and do your one thing. Now please, stay with me and listen on purpose as I'm going to lay some foundation and then we're going to make an application. The story of Nehemiah is how? Nehemiah is in captivity. He is a cupbearer to the Persian king, Ariosdes I. Now, the cupbearer was a man who held a very influential position with the king. The cupbearer to the king was a man who had the utmost trust of the king. The cupbearer was a man who would taste of the king's drink before the king did. The cupbearer was a man who would eat the king's food. He would taste it before the king did. And in fact, scholars tell us that the man who served as a cupbearer to the king was a man who in time not only held a position, but was a man who became great friends with the king. Now, Nehemiah holds this very influential position as cupbearer to the Persian king, Ariosdes I. Now, stay with me. 100 years before this, the Babylonian Empire, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, took the city of Jerusalem. They destroyed the city, they destroyed the temple, they burned the gates leading into and out of the city, and they destroyed the walls that surrounded the city of Jerusalem that protected the city from outside invasion. That happened 100 years before the book of Nehemiah. In time, the Medes and the Persians came together and established the Persian Empire. And the Persians overthrew the Babylonians. So that at this time, the Persian Empire was the dominant world power. And now Nehemiah is serving as a cupbearer to the Persian king. So while Nehemiah is serving in this position, Nehemiah receives word from his hometown, the city of Jerusalem, that the walls that surround the city are still laying on the ground. After 100 years, 100 years later, those walls are laying in a pile of rubble. And Nehemiah becomes heartbroken. So Nehemiah goes to the Persian king, his friend. And the king allows Nehemiah to come back to the city of Jerusalem and to rebuild the wall around the city of Jerusalem. So Nehemiah surveys the situation in Jerusalem, and then he gathers all of the people in Jerusalem together, and Those walls around the city serve to protect the people of the city from outside invasion. But more than that, those walls in the ancient world were a sign of dignity to the people. If your walls were down, you had lost your dignity because you were wide open for attack. So Nehemiah says, look, we're going to rebuild the wall and we're going to restore our dignity as a people. Now here it is. Nehemiah's one thing was to rebuild the wall. When Nehemiah got to the city of Jerusalem, there were 1,000 things that needed to be done. But his one thing, we're rebuilding the wall and we're getting back our city. So as they began the process of rebuilding those walls, opposition came. Do you hear me? Anytime you stand up and say that I'm going to deal with and I'm going to fix my one thing, opposition will arise. Now, Nehemiah's opposition came in the form chiefly of three men: Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. They tried to stop Nehemiah from his one thing by insulting him. They tried to stop Nehemiah from his one thing by mocking him, by discouraging him, by planning armed attacks against him. They did everything they could think of to stop Nehemiah from doing his one thing of rebuilding the wall, but regardless of what they did, they could not stop Nehemiah from doing his one thing. Now let's pick up with the story. Nehemiah chapter 6, every eye and every heart, beginning with verse 1. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gate, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message: come, let us meet in one of the villages in the plains of Ona. His enemies are saying, you know what, Nehemiah? Let's do that. Let's have lunch. There's a golden corral right down there on the plains in Ona, and you know what we're going to do for it. Watch this. But they were scheming to harm them. Now watch verse 3, So I sent messengers to them with this reply. Now stop right here and listen. Nehemiah's reply is so powerful. Nehemiah's reply to stop doing his one thing is so powerful. Watch him very carefully. Verse 3, so I sent messengers to them with this reply: I am carrying on a great project, and I will not come down. Nehemiah said, look, I am doing a great work, and I will not come down. I am doing a great work, and I will not stop. Here's the sentence that transitions us to the summer. Somewhere in your world, there is a wall that you need to complete. And that wall is your one sentence. And you need to say today, now, you need to say what Nehemiah said, I am doing a great work and I will not come down. Now watch what is said after he makes his statement in verse 6. Watch what the next statement is. Nehemiah says, why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Who are you to think you can stop my one thing? Why should I stop my one thing in order to fill and waste time with the likes of you? Now look at verse 4. Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. You got it? Nehemiah refused to be disturbed from his one thing. Nehemiah refused to quit his one thing, rebuilding those walls. Nehemiah refused to say, I'm going to be turned back from my one thing. Whatever they did to him, he said, look, I will not stop my one thing. And your challenge in 2014 is to get up on your wall and to deal with your one thing. Your challenge in 2014 is for you to get up on your wall and to say to yourself, I'm doing a great work and I will not come down. I will not be discouraged from this. I will not quit this. I will not stop this. I will deal with and I will do my one thing if I do nothing else this year. Now, you're saying, okay, we got it. We all got this one thing, and we need to do it. Hallelujah, we get out early. I'm just not thinking of that. Now, are you listening? I can't leave this problem. So right now, I'm going to push you. I'm going to push. And we're going to get specific. I'm not doing this to hurt anybody. God help me. I'm not doing this to make anybody feel bad. I'm doing this to encourage you that you need to get on your wall and that you need to take care of your one thing. Because if you will do your one thing, your life will get better. Okay? Let's get this. What is your one thing? Now, For some of you, your one thing is a habit. Some of you have a drinking problem. Let me tell you how you know you have a drinking problem. Because somebody has looked at you and said, you have a drinking problem. That's how you know. Now, whoever has said that to you probably cares a lot about it. And whoever has said that to you did not say that to you as soon as they knew you had the problem. They waited and waited and hoped and prayed and waited. So this reached the point to where somebody or somebody are saying you have a drinking problem, you're way down the road. Listen, you need to deal with it. You need to say, that is my one thing. And I'm going to get up on this wall, and I am doing a great work, and I'm not going to come down until I deal with this problem, because if I deal with this problem, my life will improve. Amen. Don't be mad now. If you mad now, you're going to want to kill me before I get done. For some of you, your one thing is a habit. It's a habit. Some of you, you have a drug problem. A drug problem. Maybe it's pain stuff. Maybe it's something more legal. And you went to doctors, and they all give you a script for it. Listen, that's your one thing. You need to deal with this thing. You need to say, I'm going to take care of that. And you need to say, I'm going to break work, and I'm not going to come down. And some of you, right here, right now, you need to say, I am no longer going to allow my life to be controlled by anything that's in a bottle. Which one is a habit? It's a habit. Now, for some of you, it's the best. It's the best. You may be seen as a drug, that's what I mean. Now listen, you say, oh, so why should I stop, right? Because we do not want you to die. Surgeon General of the United States told you 3 or 4 days ago, it caused a lot more things than they have done. If that's your one thing, you need to deal with that. It will help your life. With some of you, you have an addiction to the internet. You're addicted to pornography. You need to deal with yourself. You need to deal with that. So, I don't have a problem, okay? How many chapters of the Bible did you read in the last 7 days? How many hours did you spend on the internet in the last 7 days? How much time sin and pray. And how am I trying to do some sense playing a silly game? It's a habit. Listen. Your one thing, you need to get up on that wall. Listen, the devil's going to try to discourage you. The devil's going to say, look, you try to do this and you can't do this. The devil's going to do all of these things, but you need to say what the amount of that. I'm on this wall, I'm doing a great work, and I'm not going to come down, and I'm going to do this one thing. It could have changed your life.
You still love him?
Oh, now, what is your one thing? For some of you, that's not your deal at all. For some of you, your one thing is a relationship. It's a relationship. Now, I'm going to say something. I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear that. I want you to understand that. If you're a parent, and if you have a little one, I want you to listen to me. If you have a little one, listen to me. You need to go into that child's room. With that, you need to look into the crib or the bed of that child. While that child is sleeping. And you need to get down on your knees next to that child. And you need to say, this is my one thing. Now look. Lord, you gotta help me up. Lord. Look, if you're a young parent, look, I remember that. I'm that old. If you're a young parent, listen, your life is controlled chaos. There's 100 things you need to do and 100 places you need to be, but you need to say, this right here is not one thing. This is it. Right here, that's it. And I'm going to get up on this wall, and I'm going to do everything I can to raise that child so that if God wants me to raise that child so that child has a chance in this world of being happy and blessed in the next. But you need to say, I'm not coming down. That's my one thing. Your one thing is a relationship. There's a relationship that you need to fix. It's a relationship maybe with another Christian that you need to fix. And you've been out of joint with them for years. You need to fix that. And listen, if it bothers you, it puts your conscience, listen, if there's somebody you need to apologize to, go apologize to them. If there's somebody who needs to apologize to you, and if they don't, get over it. Let it go. Let it go. Your one thing is to fix that relationship. Your life, your heart will be better off you do. The one thing with some of them is you have a relationship that you need to end. Yeah. You need to end. You say, well, you know, they're nice people. They may be nice people, and you may be a nice people, but when you two get together, it isn't nice. If you have people who are taking you in the wrong direction, then your one thing is you need to get on that wall and say, look, I'm done with that. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down, but I'm fixing this one thing that I'm not going to hell for you, and nobody else. You get out there and end it, and we'll clap for you.
We okay?
We have a church.
Can you come out and see that other lady sometime?
Church!
If that lady don't come up in any real, I don't care what they say.
Your one thing in your head, you need to stop. Get control of yourself. Handle your business. Handle your relationship. Now, for some of you, and I'm going to thank any of us, your one thing is that there's somebody that you need to talk to about Jesus. And you know what? You've known it for a long time. You might work with this person might be a neighbor to you, or whatever your feeling is for this person, you have known for a long time. That person would probably be receptive to me about coming to church with me, but you just haven't done it. You haven't done it. You need to get up on that wall and you need to talk to that one person. Brother, listen to me. One of the great tragedies of eternity is when we find out all of the people that we could have reached, that we didn't reach, and they'll be lost. Your one thing is that person that you work with or you know, who you run with, that one thing you know if this person, if I invited them, they can come. Listen, you could change that person's eternity. You could change their unborn generation. You have to do that. With some, our one thing is just upset. Is upset. And when we're not shooting ourselves in the foot, we're shooting ourselves in the head. Amen.
Amen.
You need to be comforted? Well, I believe in God. Then be comforted. You need to come back to God. That's the one thing. You need to get up on that wall and say, I'm going to fix my relationship with God. Now, quickly, I want you to go back to Nehemiah chapter 6. Go back to Nehemiah 6. We're going to bring this in home. I want you to look carefully, every eye and every part now, verse 15 and verse 16. Watch this. Are you there? Nehemiah 6:15. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. That's remarkable. Now watch verse 15. Watch this. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence, because they realized that this work has been done with the help of our God. Now, please, just another minute, please. There are no miracles in the book of Nehemiah. There are no miracles. In the book of Nehemiah, you never read of the lightning bolt and flashes across the sky. None of that's in there. You know what Nehemiah is? Nehemiah is men and women who did what God wanted them to do. And they were so blessed by it that even their enemy said, God had handled what they were doing. You know right now what your one thing is. You know what it is. Now listen to me. When you leave here, nothing out there is changed. You hear me? Everything out there is exactly the way it was when you came in here. The only thing this morning that can be different and change is you. Right here. My last statement is my most important. You have no idea of everything that hangs in the balance of you doing your one thing. You cannot stand how much lies on you doing it. Whether it's a habit that's chosen, you can change. Whether it's a relationship that you need to get fixed, whether it's somebody that you need to talk to about the Lord, whether it's your own will, you cannot imagine everything that hangs on you doing the one thing. And if you do it, a year from today, your life will be totally different than it is right now. If you're not a Christian, become a Christian. If you're away from God, come back to God. But whatever you do, do your one thing. If you need your comfort, let it be known now that together we can.